I don't think that he would even like us to say, well, you know, God didn't have a hand in this one. I don't think he'd appreciate that. Because I know God works very hard to show us how much he loves us. Anyway, it's a little song that came to me over a year ago when I shared it with you one time, and it just fits real well with what we're talking about today. More than you can imagine, more than you can say, more than ever has been, God can do more every day. Life isn't always easy. Life isn't always fair. That's why we need Jesus, and that's why he's always there, and he's bringing more than you can imagine, more than you can say.
He does, doesn't he?
I love the way God works. He knows what he's doing. He knows, he understands, and he still does more. We're taking a step back from where we were last week, back to the beginning of the promises of God that we began talking about on December 18th. We're going back to John 14. There are three verses there that I had never understood until this week. I always said, what do they mean? What is Jesus talking about? And maybe you all know already and understand these verses, but for at least 10 years, if not longer, I had no idea. I tried to think about it in many different ways, and until I made it through what we talked about last week, And he said, showbread. I had no idea. I had no idea. You're like, it wasn't time yet. But when he showed me this morning, I said, wow. Are you ready? You got it? John 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Greater works than what Jesus did, you can do. Sounds too wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds impossible. It does until you know what they are. And this morning I found out. And this morning I'll share it. But let us first seek God in a word of prayer that He would open us up and His word up to us. Gracious Heavenly Father, as You'd pour out Your Spirit now upon us gathered here, open the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our mind to receive what You have for us, that we would indeed stand in Your promise, in Your blessing, and in Your Word. That Your Word would come to us in ways we can receive it, and Your promise would be clear. Thank You, Jesus, that You're ready for us. That You're ready for us to hear what You have in store for us. That You have more than we could ever imagine. But let us be bold enough, Lord, right now to say, Lord, surprise us with Your grace, with Your Word, with Your blessing. Surprise us in ways that motivate us to do greater things than You ever did, Lord Jesus, while You walk this earth. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You've given us opportunity and enabled us to do those things. I ask now that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. I've always understood one thing about Jesus, and that is, whenever He healed somebody, or fed 5,000, or raised the dead, it wasn't just to do those things. When He opened the eyes of the blind, it wasn't just so the person could see. It's so that somebody could receive the message of the kingdom of God. The works that He did were signs and wonders. Now you might say, well, that's amazing. But when I read this thing about Jesus telling us that we can do greater works, I said, I've never seen myself walk on water unless it was frozen. Playing hockey or ice. Other than that, I couldn't do that. But that's not a work. And when He healed someone, that wasn't a work. That was a sign and a wonder. He says in here, a lot of people seek signs and wonders. But His whole intention, and Jesus clearly says, He came to seek and to save the lost. Think of it this way. If He healed somebody or raised them from the dead, did they die again? Later. So it wasn't an eternal blessing that He gave them. They still died, didn't they? As far as I understand, Lazarus rose from the dead, but he died again. Right? So it wasn't about His resurrection from the dead. It was what it did and the message that came with it.
At this time, the Holy Spirit was not given where they could understand completely the work that Jesus was doing. Not only that, but Jesus says clearly, the works that He did was not His doing. He said the works that He did, in that verse 10, the Father did them. The works. Now the signs and wonders, Jesus did. Now there is a distinction. And please understand that the distinction is signs and wonders are what Jesus emanated with the power of the Spirit upon Him that He could speak to the dead and they could rise. But the works is the message of the proclamation of the gospel. He said, whatever I see my Father do, whatever I hear Him say, I say to you. Now if you understand, works then is something that relates directly to salvation. Signs and wonders is physical. Salvation is spiritual. If God has to heal someone for them to hear the message, guess what? He'll heal them. But if they don't need healed, He doesn't necessarily try to heal them for them to receive the gospel. If they can receive it without it. Why? Because He wants us to be saved, first and foremost. Isn't that our primary concern for the people in this world? Is that they be saved first? I don't know about you, but I've often said someone who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't love Jesus, gets baptized, they're going down a sinner and coming up a sinner. They're just a wet sinner. That's what they say about someone who's drank too much and they're not sober, and you give them a cold shower and a cup of coffee, now they're a wet drunk. Just a wet sinner, you know? Same principle in motion there. So what I'm trying to share with you here is that God isn't trying to heal someone just so they'll be healed and be happy. Remember the 10 lepers. All of them were cleansed as they went toward the priest. One came back to Jesus. What did He say? Were there not 10 cleansed and healed? But only one came back to say thanks. Did He heal them just so they could go back to work? Or did He heal them so that they could come and know who God is? And what did He say to the one who came back? Your faith has saved. Your faith saved you. Not healed you, saved you. The other 9 were happy enough with the healing. But the one said, I want more than the healing. I want the God that heals. I don't know about you, but I want people to have a relationship with the Jesus I've come to know. I want them to know the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit's filling. And I want them to know this more than I want them to find physical comfort. I want that for them. Now, what Jesus says is that greater works than what He does, we will do because He goes to the Father. And that kind of confused me. I scratched my head like this for a long time. Sometimes I'd run my head in circles and still never got an answer. It doesn't seem to work. The only thing that happens is revelation. When God's ready for you to hear it and ready for you to receive it, He tells you, no matter how confused you may be about it, and seek an answer. And this morning, apparently, I was ready. Why? Because when He said showbread, the first thing I heard when I woke up, He said showbread. And I saw an image of the high priest going into the temple on the Day of Atonement, asking for forgiveness, and the showbread was there, and He's sprinkling the blood all over the inside of the covenant and the ark and the Holy of Holies. And on that day, the high priest's job was to obtain an overlooking of the sin of the last year. Jesus said that I cannot have you do greater works unless I go to the Father. And what does He do when He goes to the Father? He takes His blood and He sprinkles it over the ark, over the covenant. He takes the showbread and He becomes the showbread. And He goes into the Holy of Holies and destroys the temple veil so we have access into God's kingdom, into the law, into the peace and the blessing, where we can go directly into God's presence and be free. Greater works than what Jesus does is we now have the proclamation with the Holy Spirit's help to bring salvation's message to other people. You and I have this greater work of proclaiming the gospel and seeing fruit. That is a greater work than any healing, any resurrection from the dead, because that's eternal. We have eternal work to do. Jesus could not bring the disciples all the way in. He said, "You're all clean except for the one who's not supposed to be by the word which I spoke to you," but they still fell away when He was crucified. They even denied Him because they were not empowered yet. He could not give them anything. And this is what He said as His final instructions. Maybe you remember this, and this is why it's important. He says, "Wait in Jerusalem until you're filled with the power from on high." Remember, one of the promises of God is that He will go to the Father and ask Him to send the Comforter, the Advocate, the Paraclete, your Defender, the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit of truth. And He said that He has to send that from the Father to us who believe and are obedient to Jesus' command to love one another. Now, why is that significant? Because up until that time, Peter was an idiot. Jesus restored Peter, but Peter still wasn't full of power. He spoke, but it didn't do any good. All He spoke was His own truth, not the truth of the kingdom. Do you remember when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two? He sent 70 on one occasion and the 12 on another. And He gave them authority to cast out demons and to heal and to preach the gospel. And they came back. He told them specific instructions. If the town doesn't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. And they go to the next town. And when they came back, they were excited. And I got to tell you, this will make you understand what Jesus is talking about. They were excited. They said, "Even the demons listened to us, and we had authority over them, and we preached the gospel, and we raised the dead, and we healed the sick." And Jesus says, "Don't be excited about those things. But rather, be excited that your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life." And then He said this, "Truly I tell you, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky." And I used to think, well, He was falling like lightning from the sky because, you know, they were really beating up Satan's people and struck a blow to him. That's not why. I understand now that He fell from the sky because the disciples' names were written there, because they now understood that Jesus Christ has the authority over him. And they undercut it. And all of a sudden, the church was beginning to be established. And when they began to be filled with the Holy Spirit, later, they understood that their work was to undercut what the devil had done. And I see that. And see, what's important isn't that we can bless people with healing, or that we can pray and they might be healed, but we can lead them to Christ, who can record their name in the Book of Life. That is the blessing. That's a greater work than raising someone from the dead who's just going to die and go to hell. That's a greater work than healing someone who's not going to get salvation. Now, I have to share with you that this is important to understand in light of the rich young ruler. Do you remember him? He came to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to receive eternal life?" And he said, "Well, what does the word say?" And the rich young ruler says, "To keep the commandments, love God and all this." And he says, "I've done all these things since I was a child. I've kept the commandments." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "There's one thing that you lack." Remember what it was? "Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." And as the man walked away dejected, Jesus said, "How hard it is for those whose identity is in this world to seek mine."
I get upset sometimes with these televangelists who think that the greatest thing they can do is heal somebody.
It's not about healing. It's about people getting into the kingdom. It's about salvation. Amen? That's what it's about. And Jesus said, "When I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. We're going to dwell with you. I'm going to do whatever you ask." Now here is the...
This is where it all hits the road.
He says, "The greater works are you going to do because I go to the Father." And the blessing, he says right after that, is the first one. "Yes, I will do whatever you ask." Are you going to ask that you bring people into the kingdom? Isn't that your heart's desire? Isn't that the heart of Christ that He had on this earth? Was that He would seek and save the lost? When you have His heart, you want to seek and save the lost. And if you say, "Lord Jesus, help me seek and save the lost," is He going to do that? Yes! If that's your heart's desire, He will help you do that. And I don't know about you, but that excites me because it means I'm going to have fruit that remains, which is what He's talking about a little later. We'll have fruit that remains when we're a disciple. And the fruit that remains is the people who come because of the word of testimony that we share. And that fruit remains because they are part of the kingdom forever. I've got to tell you, that's exciting. And the reason that word showbread hit me is the priest on the Day of Atonement. I said, what does he do on the Day of Atonement that one man can do that nobody else can? And that's to gain access into God's presence for forgiveness. Redemption. Favor with God. And Jesus says, "I am the true high priest. I've taken care of your sin once and for all." And that's the message of salvation, is that you are forgiven in Christ Jesus. You can have a relationship with Him, which is the beginning of a new life. And then when you're baptized, as Romans 6 says, you're baptized into Jesus' death and you're resurrected into His resurrection. And that is recording yourself in the Lamb's Book of Life because of what Jesus did. It's by no work of mine that I say, "Baptize me and I'm wet." It's that I am baptized into His death. And if I don't see that I'm baptized into His death, then I haven't done it yet. And I'm still just a wet old person waiting for redemption. As Isaiah says, "Call ye on the Lord while He may be found." Today is the day of salvation. This is the message that has greater works than what Jesus did. And you think of it. On the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit empowered them, thousands were converted. Thousands. That's just on one day. Is your heart to bring as many people into the kingdom as you can? Or is your heart just to live until you finally make it? I challenge each and every one of you, including myself, that we seek the Lord and say, "Lord, provide me opportunity and the words to bring one in." That's a greater work than Jesus. And He says He will do it if you ask Him. He will make it happen if you ask Him to help you do that. I remember the first person I led to Jesus, it scared me. I said, "I don't know what to do." And Jesus says, "I'm doing it. You just help Him." "I've already done it. You just let Him know I did it." That's all you got to do. Don't be afraid of that. Because if the blessing is that good to you, don't you want others to have it? If Jesus really makes a difference in your life, would you want your best friend to not know what you found? No way. But there's more. There's more blessing, more work for us to do. And all we have to do is ask. And because He's gone to the Father, He can send us the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word is true, acceptable, and beautiful. That You've taken Your finger and written it in our hearts, and it speaks to us at the very core, saying, "This is the truth." That the greatest work we can ever do is to bring people to You. Eternally Yours. Heavenly Father, that one day when we are standing there before Your throne, and there are people standing next to us who look at us and say, "Thank You. Thank You. Thank You that You cared enough, that You had Your Savior's heart. And now we do. Thank You." Heavenly Father, don't let us deprive even one of Your Word, but help us to see the hungry, the thirsting, that we might bring Your Word to them. Help us have eyes that see them. Make a way, Lord, for them where there seems to be no way. As the Apostle Paul said, "Lord, may we become all things to all people, that by somehow, some way, we might reach one." Heavenly Father, that You include us is the greatest blessing that I know of. You include us in Your work. Thank You. May we be faithful. Find us faithful. I ask You that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Page 78,
my house is full of
our
family.
Amen. 78. That's a good sign. I believe that God has for us